Lekuta Sichas Chelik Yutes Parshik Yisaveh Sicha Beis Shengeret Fil Mo. It was spoken already many times as Chotsh Rashi Kump Befarazayn L'chol Reish Shutom Shol Ksuvim, that even though Rashi comes to explain his first and foremost mission with his Pirush is to explain the simple meaning of the Pesukim. And Halt Obed Zayn Pirush Oichyen Shol Teira. But we know that Rashi's explanations, the commentary also includes an explanation according to the inner dimension of Torah. Pnimi is verozen deiraisa, the inner dimension of Torah, be the babusta vort von Alten Rebbe, as is well known what the Alten Rebbe said, that Rashi explains yenishal Torah, and that it is to be understood also from that perspective. And speaking about the Alten Rebbe, was divoch parsha kumi oiri, that this week, which is the parsha which is connected to the Haftaira Kumi Oiri, rise and shine, because your light, you know, shine your light and so on, as Hashem says to the Jewish people, which is his birthday is on Chai Elul, he's a Yemeledes. V'yadua is in this week. V'yadua the word from Baal Shem Tov, we know the word, the what the Baal Shem Tov said about the birth of the Alter Rebbe, that on the during the week of Kumi Oiri was born. On Wednesday of that week, Shabbai Nitlu Ama'iris, in which the heavenly sources of light, the sun and the moon, were suspended in the sky, as told in the story of creation, on that day was also born a great light, a neshama chadasha, a new soul, a great light came to the world, meaning the Alter Rebbe. That's what the Baal Shem Tov said in regards to the birth of the Alter Rebbe. Vazeim Aledes is Bayeim Chai Elul, and who the Baal Shem Tov's birthday is also on Chai Elul. In any case, the Pirush Rashi is it can be seen from an inner dimension as well. And Azayis has been again the Pirush Rashi Parshenu or the Divitei Chacha, and the same is also true in regards to the commentary of Rashi on the words in our Parsha, which are the words of the Teichacha, the rebuke that Hashem gives, which have some very, very harsh words and punishments that Hashem could apply to the Jewish people. So Rashi, the same can be said about Rashi's explanation of those words of rebuke. And one can even say, es is nochmer benigei pirush Rashi b'tochacha, that this is even more true in regards, meaning this, meaning that we have to see Rashi from an inner perspective, that Rashi explains it from the inner dimension, is even more true in regards to the words of rebuke that Rashi explains. This is in accordance with what the Alter Rebbe says in Lukut HaTeira, in which he explains the words of rebuke that are found in this week's Parsha, that as agam as begilu zayin that even though on the surface these words of rebuke are the opposite of blessings, izabalafia emes einam rak brachas. So the Alter Rebbe says, but in truth, they are only blessings, even though they appear as the opposite of blessings. But in truth, the inner dimension is that they are only blessings. Torah hat in zich sasim megalia, because Torah has two dimensions within the entire Torah. There is the concealed part of the Torah, and there is the revealed part of the Torah. In the sasim apnimius, when the sasim apnimius von neshama von de klolos is an inyan from brocha nailus b'yoser, and the concealed part and the soul of the inner dimension of all of these curses are really high level blessings. That's how the Alter Rebbe explains it. Al derech v'migifint in Gemara, hanekula birchas aninu, similar to what we find in the Gemara, the story that the Gemara tells a story about a certain person that was told by another person very enigmatic words, one thing after another. He said to him words which seemed that he was cursing him, but he was told that they are really, all of these words are really blessings. And then the Gemara explains how they were really blessings. But in other words, the point is that sometimes words that come out as curses, but they really contain within them true blessings. So that's how the Alter Rebbe explains the entire concepts of all the klolos, that appear in our parsha. But dugma lozeh, and in a similar way, is this negated pirusha Rashi of the Dechocha. The commentary of Rashi on those curses is in a similar way. The pshat from Rashi kumt arayz vengen degayt la loytay lufi pshut shal mikra. Rashi, in the simple meaning of the word of the Rashi, comes to explain how deep and terrible these curses are. That's how he explains it. On the revealed level, he's explaining how terrible the curses are. But when looking in the inner dimension of what Rashi is saying, Rashi's the very same words in which he explains the terrible nature of the curses, it comes to bring the inner dimension of it as well. And he brings out how, on the inner dimension, these what appear to be curses are really and truly great blessings. And from the very same Rashi, you see both how he emphasizes how terrible the curses are on the revealed level, and he explains how truly deep the blessings are from the inner dimension. So to explain, at least with a few examples, by Msiyim HaTechocha, at the very end of the of that parsha of the curses, Zok the Pasuk says, Veishivcha Hashem Mitzrayim B'aniyos, Hashem will bring return you to Mitzrayim in boats, B'derech Asher Amarti Lecha, Loisaisiv Oid L'Roisa, on the same road that I told you, do not go back that way. You will not again see this road, meaning the way back to Mitzrayim. I will bring you back in that way. I will bring you back to Mitzrayim. You will sell yourself. You will offer yourself up for sale to there in Mitzrayim to your enemies. Lavonim as slaves, v'lishvachasen as woman slaves. V'ein kaina, but nobody will be willing to purchase you. That's the pasuk. The pashtus is moving, so on the simple level we understand as v'bal the pasuk shteit b'amsov v'siyim from the teichacha. Since this pasuk is at the very end of the curses, it's the final pasuk, the very last pasuk, the very last curse that is expressed. Therefore, we must say that kum teraruz bringin ahepach atoyv gadol b'yosef, that the final words are, of course, the worst. It keeps working, getting worse and worse and worse, and the final pasuk is the absolute worst curse possible. Is nishmuvin. So based on this, we have to understand vos is the gewaltige poronius von dem was in feln sich umkennen in Mitzrayim. What terrible curse is it that the Jews will go back to Mitzrayim? Und keiner wird sie nicht wollen kaufen, also wenn wir schwachen, and nobody will want to buy them as slaves. How is that the worst possible curse? Is this Rashi Mevar? So Rashi explains. He says, "Ba'aniyos, you will go back in boats." Main besfinos b'shvi. Where Rashi says, "What is this meaning of the boats? You will go back besfinos." First, he explains the word boats, ba'aniyos as sfinos, which is the Aramaic word for boats, and b'shivya in a slave boat. You will go back in slavery on those boats. Meaning to say, not just you'll go back to Mitzrayim to live, but you will come there as captives. And then to explain the word, and nobody wants to buy you. Why won't they want to buy you as a slave? Because you will be condemned to death and to destruction. That's why they won't want to buy you. So learning the Gbashkofer Rishayna Kumtois, when you look at this just on the simple level, it comes out as in the Pasuk Zainadot Svei Puronius, that in this Pasuk there are two curses. There are two general themes of curses here. Number one, Eden Vel Kumaka Mitzrayim Beshivya, that the Jews will be brought back to Egypt as captives. And number two, Yigzer Allah Harib Giloyna, that they will be condemned to death. On the Iberike Verter in Pasuk, and therefore all the rest of the Psukim, all the rest of the words in this pasuk, which is they will bring you on boats in the way on the same road that I told you, you will not go back that way, you will not see this road again, and you will offer yourself up to your enemies as slaves, all of those things, Seine nur Pratim in der Zweianal, they are only sort of describing the situation in which those two terrible things will happen, the captivity and the being condemned to death. The fact that you're going by boat. Okay, you went by boat. Well, how does that say anything? What does it mean to say? It's just a way. The fact that it's on the way, the road that Hashem said that you will not go back, it's a detail in how you will be brought back in slavery. Mekena Bezodin, however, we might be able to say, as Rashi does them deekul the shiny of Pirusha, that Rashi, through his very accurate and specific way of wording things, of expressing things, Kitzav Hashtem v'yeda pratim posik is meisiv azach heipach atoiv la'atzmai, that Rashi is really showing us how each one of the words, each idea that is brought out in this posik, adds another level, another dimension to this terrible situation that the Torah describes. As I'll explain soon. Now, that is in Yenishal Torah, and conversely, according to the inner dimension of the Torah, as we explained before, V'yedavort, when Inyun Kum Meisu Zayin in Gaidla Ilu V'abrocha V'svet Zayin Ba'idin, that since every curse is really in its inner meaning a blessing, so Rashi is also, as he explains how each word in the Pasuk expresses another depth of curse, is explaining from the inner dimension how each word expresses another level of blessing for the Yidden. V'etmen das Fashteim b'hagdim levayr, so we'll understand all this by first explaining what the pasuk is madgish ve'shivcha b'derech ha'shamati l'cha lo'yseis ve'id l'roysa. First we have to explain, why does the Torah emphasize that when the Yidden will go back to Mitzrayim, they will go back on the road that Hashem said you will no longer, you shouldn't go back that way. What is the L'chayre, the question has to be asked, Vos is the nafkamina, Vos is dos negeye in them to in the techocha? Why is that important over here to point out that Hashem said you shouldn't go back that way anymore? How is that relevant to the idea of the curse? And we don't find that Rashi should address this question about why this is brought here, that this is the way that Hashem said you shouldn't go back. Some of the commentaries explain, as the mit is the posik mazbif avazde v'shivcha is dafke ba'aniyas, that what this means to explain is why does the posik say that you're going back on boats. So they say this answers why the return will be on boats. Since Hashem said, do not go back on this, do not return on this path, the path that the Yidden took out of Mitzrayim, Hashem commands us not to go back in that path, do not return that way. So therefore, it makes no sense to say that the Yidden will go back on the road that Hashem said not to go back. It's prohibited for the Yidden to go that way. So on that road, on that path, they're not allowed to go. In other words, durch yabosha, to go over land, to make the trip through the desert as the Yidden made it, coming out of Mitzrayim, they're not allowed to go back that way. The Dibur is the Pasuk Madgish Veshichu Ba'aniyas. That's why the Pasuk says, you will go back, you will return on boats. That's not the same way that they came out of Mitzrayim, therefore they're going by sea, and therefore that's how they will go back. It doesn't contradict the prohibition to go back to Mitzrayim on the same path. That's how they explain it. But it's difficult to say that this is what the simple meaning of the Pasuk means, which is the way of Rashi on the Torah. While the Ma'inav Kemina in the Teichocha to Bavarin as the Veishivcha Hashem Mitzrayim is Nishbistiris Loisif Neid L'Roisa, because in the Teichocha, in the curses, Hashem has to make sure that we, the Torah has to make sure that we understand that when the Yidden are brought back there, they're not being brought back against the will of Hashem, which says that you're not allowed to go back to Mitzrayim in the same way, which explains why they have to be brought back by boats. In the Teichocha, that's is necessary to mention that. Ubefrat as l'chayre vos hotnish gedaft shtein b'derech ha-shermatel cholos sifenoid l'roisa. Especially that it didn't have to, just like it doesn't have to say aniyos, if you would have left out the way that I told you not to go, You could leave out both of them, and therefore there's no question, and therefore there's no need for an answer with boats. Leave out the whole thing. You'll be brought back from Mitzrayim. How? How does it not contradict? Whatever, you have a question, look for an answer. But it's not important in the Teichacha to mention that whole subject, to bring up the question and therefore bring up an answer. Because that the fact that Hashem said not to go there is also not important l'cheira, but Teichacha in the curses. And therefore, don't say the question, therefore you don't have to say with boats, leave out the whole thing. So their answer doesn't really answer the matter in Pshuto Shel Mikra, because the answer only comes after you ask the question, then there's a need for an answer. Leave out the question, you don't need an answer. So the question comes back, why does the Teichacha bring up this whole matter? It would seem that we could say, similar to what it says in this medrash, as the pasuk dil demit madgezayin tzuvosis de averes and an olu to the firin, that the pasuk is emphasizing here the sins that the Jews commit lead down a path, down a terrible path. You want to know how far things can get? That chodesh as the Eibishtar tzugizok leisisiv noid l'raisa, that even though Hashem assured you that you will never go back that way to Mitzrayim, kenen obed chatoim geirim zayin, but the sins that the Jews commit could cause even such terrible situation as the Eibishtar mabatel zayin daftocha, that Hashem should undo his promise of not bringing the Yidden back to Mitzrayim. That's the point that the Teichacha is bringing out. I told you that you'll never go back there, but because you committed sins, I'm withdrawing those words, and you are going back there. But even that explanation is not really, doesn't work so well with Pshuto Shel Mikra. Why? Because to know, in order to deliver this message, this idea, as a ched befrat chatoim gedolim, can guide him on the bitla of tochav and the meibishin, that a sin, and especially big sins, have the ability to, that Hashem should go back on his promise. Daf minishon gum to the klolos achi gedolos. You don't have to, it doesn't have to come from these terrible, horrible curses that we get the idea that Hashem is able to withdraw his assurance. Of a frat noch beim siyum, and especially at the very end of the curses, in other words, we're talking about the very most, the worst ones possible, and that's where we hear the message that Hashem is able to go back on his promise. We know that from elsewhere. This is something that we already were told in the story of Yaakov, that Yaakov prayed that he should be, that Hashem should save him, even though Hashem had promised him that everything will be fine. He promised him 22 years earlier. So Yaakov said, maybe I've used up all my good fortune, my reward, everything that Hashem promised me, I've already used up all those promises, and therefore, Shema Gara Machet, maybe I did something which would which caused Hashem not to want to deliver on that promise anymore, and therefore he was afraid of Esav. So we know already that it's possible, from Yaakov's words we know, that it's possible that Hashem, that a person should commit a sin, and that should cause, that Hashem should not want to deliver on his promise. So you need to go to the very possible worst curses in the Torah, and at the very end of those worst curses, and that's where this message comes out. We see it in a much more wholesome place, from Yaakov Avinu himself. Then another thing, another thing is, why is it this idea that Hashem could go back on his promise has to be connected dafke to the return to Mitzrayim? Why is it dafke here that we hear this message? Why is it in connection to this promise that Hashem is going back on his promise? So all of this needs to be explained a little better. And certainly, obviously, it wouldn't be the right answer, especially according to Pshuto Shel Mikra, to answer it in this way. As Chod, she's given a tzivei Hashem nish tzurige mederech hazal mitzrayim, even though Hashem told the commanded the Yidden, it's a mitzvah that a Yid should not go back to Mitzrayim. Is the Ched Goyrim, so here the Pasuk is trying to tell us that because of the terrible sins of the Yidden, it caused that the Eibush Rechenzich Nish Midem, that Hashem doesn't consider that he himself said that the Yidden shouldn't go back. Umbrengt ze euch zu euch sein auf den Zivoy, and that because of their terrible sins, he even causes them to commit the sin that he said they should not do. He's causing them to commit the sin that he said they shouldn't do because of the terrible sins, and that's what it's trying to say. So that can't be the answer. Weil was für a Scheiches zu der Teichacha hat das, was Chatoim bringe zu Ewe sein, auf noch a Zivu Balkorcham? What kind of a connection is it to the curses that Hashem says that he, so what is he saying? That he's going to cause them to commit a greater sin, more sins? That's the meaning of this, that's what this pasuk is trying to say. Anyway, that design verstandig. So we'll understand this behagdam atayzus bir and pirush Rashi b'aniyas by first explaining on a little deeper what is the meaning. What does Rashi mean to say? What does Rashi explain on the words with boats? Besfinis b'shviya, as he said before, that it means with boats. He explains the word b'aniyas besfinis and b'shviya in captivity. What is Rashi trying to explain here? The uptight as Eden Volgene Mitzrayim Beshivya is Shayach Nish Tzum Vard Baniyas, explaining that the Yidden will go back to Mitzrayim not of their free will but in captivity as captives, has nothing to do with the word in boats. Nor Tzum Vard Veshivcha. That is the meaning of he will return you to Mitzrayim. So over there you have to say, don't think you're going to go by your own free will. In freedom, you're going to go in captivity, in slavery. That's where Rashi should have said, B'shivya. As the Eibishter vetzidatum cannot show him that Hashem will return them as captives. Hatach Rashi gedavtas mfarzayim by v'yishivcha. So Rashi should have said this explanation on the words, and he will return you. Unisht in dem dibur v'etajt abnevard b'anis, and not in the word, in the Rashi in which he's explaining the word ba'aniyas, what does a ba'aniyas mean? With boats. So that's all he should have said, with boats. And then, b'shivya should be on the words ve'yishivcha. That's where they belong. So the Balatesis learn the nine. The Balatesis want to explain about this, as ba'aniyas is meisif in the shivya, that the word ba'aniyas adds to the dimension of the captivity that is being explained here. Because if they would have brought them back to Mitzrayim on foot, they would only be capturing the people, the adults, the male adults, which are able to make the long trek back to Egypt. Because what would be the point of capturing women or children and then bringing them over land through a desert, and they're not going to be able to make it anyway, they'll die on the way? So why would they do that? So they would not start with the women and children if they were going to take them back through land. But because they're bringing them back by boat, Yushovim Tavanoshim, now they have the ability to also take the children and the women as captives, because you put them on a boat and you send them back to Egypt. Therefore, it shows that the captivity will include also the women and the children, not only the men. And how do we see that? Because they will be sent back by boat. That's how the Balatesis explain why it says by boat, to show the depth of the captivity. And that's why it goes together with Beshivya. So therefore, it does fit to explain by boat as the reason why, as explaining the captivity. From them above us, Rashi zogt b'shivya stam. But from the fact that Rashi only says in captivity, nish tzugem edikayim bir, and he doesn't explain any of what the Balatayses say, that, you know, this is not something that you would intuitively know. Is verstandig, as late Rashi is the uftu nishn dem, was the shivya vet onkum arum nemen alamen. So we understand that Rashi is not really addressing the fact that from B'aniyas we understand that the captivity also includes the women and children. nor as in dem etzem inyan was ich kumen dort banis vet zayin beshivya, but only he just connecting the fact that they're going on boats to the fact that they're going as captives. That's, those two are connected, but we have to understand why. The bir baze. So to explain it, Rashi is mefarash in farish as the ale protam b'shtein in pasuk. He explains that all, he's trying to explain that all the details that are found in this pasuk zayin nish stam protim from ein klolzik teichacha. They're not just details in one general theme or two general themes, as he said before, as meved the yidden umkene kemitzrayim, that the yidden will be brought back to Mitzrayim. Nor, rather, what is happening here is as yedev funzei is meisiv eicha bazunda teichacha, that each one of the details in the pasuk, the fact that it's in, on a boat, for instance, adds another dimension to the curse. That's what he's trying to say. Und ribe lernt Rashi. And that's why Rashi explains, as does was the pasuk is ma'irich ba'aniyos, that the, why the pasuk like explains, gives all these details. It's on a boat, but derech asher amarti, on the way, on the path that I said not to go, is thus an inyan noisav, that each one of these things is adding another depth and another dimension to the curse. In tzugav to the chachav asinim etzim umken zech mitzrayim, that in addition to the curse of having to go back to Mitzrayim, that euch de vega hin zu sein in an eifen gerube yeser, that the way that they will be brought back there is also in a terrible way. There are many ways in which you can get to Mitzrayim, but the pasuk is saying even the trip there, even the way that you get there, will be a curse upon them. When it's zwei pratim, and there are two details which the pasuk explains about this. Number one, ba'aniyos, on boats, which means b'shivya, which means as captives. Tos heist, in other words, levad zayis vasa Mitzrayim v'on zizayim b'shivya, not only that when they get to Mitzrayim they will be in captivity there, v'on zay oich dem veg ka Mitzrayim durch machanot shvuyim in aniyos, that even the way there, they will also be captives. Not only when they get there will they become captives, but even brought there, they will be brought as captives. Thus, this is verbunden mit asach tzar b'yisurim, and being brought somewhere as a captive is also connected with more pain and suffering. Fil mer v'de tzar fun gein b'shiva dur demi abosha, and going on a boat as a captive is even more terrible than just going as a captive. If you were to go, let's say, over dry land. Why so? For in Ba'aniyos is menner und starker unter dem Morus von Divus haben sie gefangen. Because when you're on a boat, you're much more under the control of the one who is your captor than if you were going on dry land. As you see this in the simple fact, shows that over there you're completely dependent on them. You're locked into a place. They have constant supervision of you. Where if you're just walking along the road, you know, it's a big free world. But on a boat, you're just locked in, and they have control of everything that you do. So by saying ba'aniyos, it shows on the depth of the captivity that you're suffering on the way back to Mitzrayim. Which also explains why Rashi doesn't want to give the answer that the Taisus says. Because in addition to the fact that if you look on the simple, you know, the simple fact shows that women and children can also make treks, long treks on foot, at least if you walk slowly and so on. In fact, all the 2 million people, which included women and children, also made their way all the way from Mitzrayim back to Eretz Yisrael, So they all walked. For 40 years, they were all walking. So it is possible to go on foot, even for women and children. But in addition to that, Lloyd Zeir Pirush Kumtois, because according to the Balatois, as it comes out, as nishter etzem umken zubanias is a teichacha fazich, that it's not that going by boat which is an additional level of curse. Notice is Beloiz Meisiv in the clothes that teichacha from Veshivcha Mitzrayim. But that the boat only adds to the curse of a shivcha, that it includes not only the men, but it includes also the women and children. Everybody will be returned. But Ba'aniyas doesn't add a dimension to the suffering. So if that were the case, that it's only trying to describe who's going to be returned, why not just simply say, V'heshev Hashem kulcham, Hashem will return you all, meaning all the Yidden, men, women, children, something similar, but not to add another thing, Ba'aniyas, in boats, and through this to hint to us that it means everybody. Why not just say it simply? Therefore, Rashi doesn't want to accept the pashtus and the simple level, on the simple explanation of the psukim. That's not what Ba'aniyas means. So that explains how Ba'aniyas brings out a deeper level of a curse. Number two, b'derech asher amati l'chaloseh sevei l'reisa. What does that bring out? That I will bring you back in on the road which I said to you, you will no longer see it. That they will be brought back on the same road that they tread that path already, going the other direction, but they already walked this road before, which is we know that the road going from Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael was through the terrible, the great and terrible, awesome desert filled with snakes and scorpions and thirst, and there is no water and so on. So it's a terrible path. And obviously that when you're talking about a curse of being brought back to Mitzrayim, the road back to Mitzrayim is not going to be with all the miracles that Hashem provided for the Yidden on the way out of Mitzrayim, protected by the clouds, water from a well that is miraculous, the food raining down from heaven, all of those things, you know, being protected from the sun, all of those things are not going to happen on the way back. So Vastefar had the Eibishter Maftir given as in dem derech leisis avoid l'reisa, and of course that was the meaning of when Hashem said you will not go back on this road in the future, meaning to say you will never have to make your way down this horrible place again. This is the last time you're going to walk on this path. And now, in fact, it does happen. They are forced to go back down that road again through that terrible place. Is moving the Gaidla Techacha and the Malicha Durdem Derech. So we understand how terrible it is that it's a deeper dimension. You know, the road that I told you, you'll never have to go back down that road because it's such a horrible place to go through. Sorry, you have to go back through that road now, minus all the miracles that are provided for you on the way here. So therefore that also expresses another dimension of the horror that they will experience in going back to Mitzrayim. And this is something that Rashi doesn't have to spell out for us. It's self-understood. Just like Rashi doesn't have to spell out for us what it means to go back to Mitzrayim. So Rashi doesn't tell us, you want to understand what it means to go back to Mitzrayim? There's no need to explain. We understand ourselves that going back to Mitzrayim is a horrible thing. So here also he doesn't have to explain the meaning of going back on the same road. Because Rashi already explained that you don't scare a person only with something that he knows that he should be scared of. If you tell him, you try to scare him by something that he's never heard of, he has no idea what you're talking about, it doesn't really get him scared. So when you scare someone, when you threaten someone, you threaten them with something that they understand what the threat means. And so same as it's true about the very concept of going to Mitzrayim, the Yidden understand very well what that means, going to Mitzrayim. So also the way in which they will be going back, the road that they will take to get back, is by Yidden Adavashu Yogam Emena, was a thing already that the Yidden knew what it means. They understand that going back on that path is a terrible, terrible place. Going through that terrible desert, horrible experience. So therefore they know about it, and the Rashi doesn't have to spell it out. It's self-understood what this means. Al pize vet menech verstehen dem hemshach im Pirush Rashi are divided the geverter in dem zolben pasuk. And based on this, we can now understand what Rashi explains on the next few words in this pasuk, which is v'ismakartem sham le'yevecha, that you will offer yourself for sale to your enemies. Rashi says, atem mevakshem liyis min imkarim lehem la'avodim u'lishvachas. Rashi points out that the word v'ismakartem doesn't mean you will be sold, but it means you will offer yourself to be sold. You will offer yourself for sale. You will request that they should sell you, you should be sold to them as slaves, which means that not others will sell you, nor as that you yourself want to sell yourself as a slave. As Rashi explains in the next Rashi, he explains the grammar of it. So you could ask the question over here, does the bestirutz dem was hat mefarish given as ze veln gefilt mit zayim beshvi? This contradicts what Rashi just said, that they will be brought to Mitzrayim and captivity. So what does it mean that they, when they get there, they will offer themselves for sale? If they're brought there in captivity, then they're not in control of themselves that they can offer themselves for sale. They are captives to other people, and those people can sell them. So what does it mean that they will offer themselves? It would seem that they would be offered for sale by others, not by themselves. So this seemed to contradict what Rashi said, you will be brought to Mitzrayim as slaves. Another question that we have to ask about this is, favos is the pasuk taka medayik v'ismakartem nishdurch meicher macherim. This in itself, why does Rashi makes a big deal of explaining that the word v'ismakartem doesn't mean that you will be sold, but that you will offer yourselves. Okay, good. Now that the pasuk has explained that it uses the word v'ismakartem, it must be that you offer yourself for sale. But why does the pasuk use that term? Why does the pasuk make an issue of the fact that you will offer yourself as a slave rather than be sold into slavery? And especially in light of the fact v'balda oisfir is doch v'ein kainet, especially that the pasuk concludes by saying there will be no one to buy you, nobody will want to buy you. And why? As Rashi says, the reason they won't want to buy you is because they will condemn you to death. So then what's the difference who's selling you? If you're selling yourself, other people are selling you, you're not going to be sold because you're going to be killed. So then what's the difference if you sold yourself or somebody else sold you? Why does the pasuk make an issue of it? Nor the beer bazeh, but the explanation is vibald as yet the prat is meisif in the teichacha as an inyan la'atzmikinal, since as Rashi is pointing out that every word, all the details that the pasuk gives, add a deeper dimension of the suffering. Learn the ribe Rashi as the pasuk that nishvegen amechira durch divas firn the idin b'shivya. Therefore, Rashi says it's not that the people that are bringing you there as captives are trying to sell you as slaves. Vos is nishtas agresa techocha, which is in itself not another level of suffering. It's not something new. That is just the natural result of being taken as captives. Nor, so it doesn't add anything. Nor, as the matzah b'shiva v'edzayin azoyshlech, what's really being said here is that your situation as captives to those people that are bringing you to Mitzrayim will be so horrible. Biz as number one, that it will lead to number one, that it will lead you to want to sell yourself into slavery, away from your captives. Is that because the suffering by these masters is so horrible, that you will look for new masters, buy me as a slave, get me away from this guy. Doch beten das ein Eindrücken auf die, was haben sie, ist erkennung beschrieben. Or to say to your captives, do sell us as slaves, make some money. Why? Because you need to get away from this Russia, from this horrible person. So that brings out that point. And number two, Nochmet Subem Loyvecha. Then it brings another thing. Who will you request? Sell me to whom? To somebody who is my enemy, not even to a neutral person, but to somebody who I know is an enemy of mine, which means I know that I'll suffer under that person, but at least I won't be suffering under this person that I am now suffering under. So they, in other words, it brings out that the suffering under the people that took you into captivity and that are bringing you to Mitzrayim will be so horrible that you will be begging to be sold in slavery even to your own enemy, because that's got to be better than what you have now. So it brings out the another dimension of the suffering that that they will be suffering at the time. The mit kommt zu euch atoises bier in Pirush Rashi euch ein keine. And this also brings a deeper understanding of what Rashi is saying in the on the pasuk ve'en kaina ki yigzur alecha herev galoyin. As Rashi says, they will condemn you to death and destruction. Al pia now, because based on what we said before, vod given on orzu lernen, it would make sense to say as ve'en kaina is norder oisfir from the Friedrich Techocha b'smakartem. One could say that you will want to sell yourself because you want to get away from this horrible person, but nobody wants to buy you. So in other words, you're stuck with him. As ihr wilt sich verkaufen zu lieb bitter matzav tzeivecha, that you're willing to be sold, you want to, you're begging to be sold, even to your own enemy, in order to relieve yourself from the suffering of the current master. Und ve'ein keine, so therefore the result is, the pasuk says, but nobody will want to buy you. In other words, they vilnish kaifim amela, that the blind b'matzav akedem, and therefore you're stuck in the suffering of the current tyrant. That's what one could say was what the pasuk is saying. But v'aron d'Rebbe Rashi, so Rashi says, no, that's not what he's saying. As oichin demis faran nishna di gutta teitzofim v'smakartem. So Rashi says, no, it's not just that ve'en kaina is makes the terrible result that you're still stuck with the old owner, that terrible thing. No, but it's even more nor oicha bazundere techochan etzefes, that ve'en kaina brings out another level of suffering. Vos is nish fabundem mit vismakartem, that has nothing to do with the fact that you're looking to be bought as a slave because you want to get away from that guy. But rather, as ve'en kaina salib dembos yigzor alecha herev gilayim, ve'en kaina comes to teach a new level of suffering. That the reason nobody wants to buy you doesn't mean that you're condemned to this guy. It means that the reason they don't want to buy you is because they will kill you. Teichocha betachlis, which means that is the last word on the matter. That is the ultimate punishment, which is you will be killed. And the Riber is does the same for the ganze Teichocha, that it all leads to you will be killed, and that's why that's the last word of the Teichocha. That's where it ends, because after you're killed, that's it, it's all over. So in other words, it's the highest, it leads to the highest possible suffering, actual death. So in other words, the Rebbe explained now how Rashi explains each word in the pasuk, each subject in the pasuk, as being an additional level of suffering. That it's not just two general themes and the rest is just the details, but that each part of it leads to another level of suffering. Vigeret frier, as he explained earlier in the first chapter, in the first page, is Rashi meramez b'yenishol teira v'didivrei techochas and b'minyosam inyonim nailim b'yoser, that Rashi in the inner dimension explains how just as the curses are terrible on this side, they are actually blessings in their inner meaning. The gavona from the techocha is dach has dordem zol ne'idin sukum sa'iluf and tshuva. What is the purpose of Hashem listing all these terrible things? It is in order to stimulate the Yidden to do tshuva. The pasuk zot, as the pasuk says, and it will be when all these things will come upon you, whether the blessing or the curse, you will take it to heart, and you will return to Hashem. The ultimate, the purpose of all this, this whole parsha, both the blessings and the curses, is in order to get the Yidden to do tshuva. And therefore we can say, as the Ribber is b'siyim b'chaisim from the Techacha Merumas, that's why at the very end of all these curses, it brings out, it alludes to at least, Ader Inyan, this matter, the Inyan of Tshuva, the Kavana from the Techacha, it brings out that the purpose, the ultimate purpose of all these curses, when the Ilu was Ve'et Al Yidei Tshuva, that it leads to an up level, a higher level through tshuva, that it all brings you to a higher purpose, which is the inyan of tshuva. The ma'ala from tshuva is, what is the quality of tshuva? What's unique about tshuva? V'ida gemara zokt, k'day l'tshuva sh'zdeinus l'ase loikizachis. The great ma'ala of tshuva is that through tshuva, your sins turn into mitzvahs. The negatives turn into positives. Erhat asug miyuchad b'noisev in zachis. Which is, what's the big deal about that? You could have been doing mitzvahs instead of aveiros, so you would have had mitzvahs anyway. So what's great about tshuva that the aveiros turned to mitzvahs? Imagine if you were busy doing mitzvahs all the time instead of aveiros, then you would have had all those mitzvahs. What do you need aveiros and then tshuva? So what value is there in having done tshuva over an aveira when you could have been doing mitzvahs and had the same amount of mitzvahs? But the answer is, v'safila tzadigam ar hotnish, because there is a certain type of zachias, of mitzvahs, of holiness that can be accomplished through tshuva, having done an aveira and then doing tshuva, that even a tzadik cannot reach that level. Why? Of a pnimis inyan, to explain it from an inner dimension. That what is accomplished through tshuva is that even those sparks of holiness that have fallen into, all the way down into the level of klipa, into the place of unholiness, which are the zdainis, those are the sins, then nepach lezachias, when a person partakes of an aveira and therefore has engaged those sparks of holiness which are captured by the forces of unholiness. Now he's engaged them. Now if he does tshuva, he elevates even those levels of the sparks. Mashenken a tzaddik b'avedase ken nor mevare zayin din etzuzes v'olchav zayin in nidvarim ha-matorim. But whereas a tzaddik, because he never does an aveira, never has any contact with those kinds of sparks which are stuck in Gimel Klipas HaTmeis, in the place of unholiness, and therefore he can only engage the sparks which are in the place of neutral territory, at least. Vos nemez of Klipas Noiga, which come not from the three Klipas HaTmeis, but from the Klipa which is sort of neutral. Vibal da vinit sudzis kedusha vaz kvinit sichin Gimel Klipas HaTmeis einen arab gefaun gar nidrik. Since these holy sparks, which are found in the three Gimel Klipas HaTmeis, which are the places of extreme unholiness, which means that those sparks fell to the very, very lowest levels, is the fun gufa muvim. From this in itself, we understand as a shayrish and kedusha is gar hoich, that the reason they fell to this low level of klipa is because in their source they come from a very high place. Their source is higher than the source of the sparks that fell into Klipas Noiga, which means the neutral territory. How do we know that? Because we have the rule which is known, the higher something originates from, when it falls even further and lower. So the fact that these fell into a very low place of Gimel Klipas HaTmeis means they come from a place higher up on the chain. and therefore the things that fell into klipas noiga because they didn't fall so far means they come from a not from such a high place. And therefore when you convert, transform these nitzutzes that come from a very, very low, that fell into a very low place, because they come from a very high level, so when you elevate them, you're elevating something which is from a very high level, therefore it brings down that very high holiness by elevating it through tshuva, having engaged them in a negative way, but now transforming it into positive, you bring down an even higher level of holiness than a tzaddik can bring down by his engaging the netzutzes which are in klipas noiga, but they are from a lower level, therefore whatever he does, he can never reach those higher levels. And that's the maila of tshuva, that a bal tshuva can reach a place where even a tzaddik can't reach. And that is the inner meaning of the pasuk, Hashem will return you, bring you back to Mitzrayim. As the kavona is in the Allah divrei tochacha, that the purpose, the meaning of all of these curses are, is ungedaiten zeyasim v'chaisim, they're all brought out at the very end, the very last pasuk of these curses. It says there, Veshivcha, that Hashem will return you. Heshivcha comes from the Lashon Tshuva. You will return. Tzu bring in some Iluf and Tshuva, that Hashem will bring you to the level of Tshuva. Veshivcha means He will bring you to the level of Tshuva. Because that Ilu is Merumas and Hemshcha Kosov, and the rest of the Pasuk, it describes the great quality of Tshuva. Number one, Vismakatem Shamlo Yevechal Avadim Ulushvachas, you will offer yourself and sail there to your enemy, as from Bechina Sham, that you will take what's called there, which is Makam HaKlipas Oivecha. You there refers to someplace else, a place away from Kedusha, the place of Klipa. Oivecha, in other words, that's what Oivecha means. Sham is the place of Oivecha, of your enemy. Is Membavarim Netzusis the Kedusha, that through Veshivcha, through Tshuva, you are able to even elevate the there, the place called there, the place of your enemy, even that can be elevated. Number two, Undur dem verd ve'ein kaine, and through this, you reach ve'ein kaine, meaning, v'ditzvei perushim in ein mazal Yisrael, as there are two interpretations. In Lukot HaTorah, to the word ein mazal Yisrael, there's no mazal to the Yidden, so one interpretation is that we're not controlled by mazel, we have something that is higher, and so on. Another interpretation is that ein, the level of ayin, this high level called ayin, that's the mazel for Yisrael. And therefore it's saying, ein kaina means ayin is kaina, the amshocha begilifin abechinas ayin, that you acquire ayin. We will acquire ayin. We will have in our possession the level of ayin through tshuva. In other words, we will draw down and reveal the level of ayin versus hechef from bechinas kaina, which is even higher than kaina. Okay, you do, as we know, that kaina is ba'elam ha'atzilus, that kaina is a level that refers to the level of atzilus. As we know, an explanation of the words in davening, which is Baruch Kainich, that is talking about Atzilus, un Ayin Hechavan Atzilus, that it will reveal and bring down a level that is Ayin, which is higher than Atzilus, so that will be revealed. The Ein Kaina means we will reveal a level of Ayin in Kaina in the lower levels. And all of this is accomplished through tshuva, and that's what's brought out by this pasuk. In Demes Rashi b'yena shel Torah, Meisiv nochamer pnimi is the geinyan. So now comes Rashi along, and he says, at least from the inner dimension of this Rashi, an even higher level in this. That's the simple reading of the pasuk, at least from the inner dimension. So Rashi comes to add to this. Since a yid is a piece of Hashem from above, kämen nicht sagen, die ganze Kabbana sei Rede von der Teuchache, ist nur zu dem Ile, was wird umgetan in den Netzutzes. So you can't say that the whole purpose of all of these curses is only for the benefit of those sparks of godliness, that we can now elevate an even higher level of spark of godliness which fell into a deeper place. And that's what it's all about. Because since the yid comes from a higher level than the sparks, so you can't subject the yid for the benefit of something lower than the yid, which is the netzutzes of kedusha. Notice it says, but therefore you have to say that there's something that the yid itself, the chelik alakamim al mamash itself, can benefit from. It's not just about the netzutzes and a higher level of elevation for the netzutzes. Ukiyadua, and as we know, as Chuba Peilt and Aliyah Be'erech Nishnorin Bechefze, the Netzutzes Kedusha, and we know that Chuba accomplishes a higher level not only in the sparks, as we explained before. In other words, in the Chefze, in the object that you're working with, the sparks of Kedusha. Nor Oyechin Gavra, but that it accomplishes an elevated level also in the one doing the elevating, the person, the Yid himself. Und die Prote Aliyah ist Rashi Mevair in seinem Pirush, wie es Makartem und wie ein Keine. And to understand the details of this elevation that happens for the Yid himself, that Rashi explains in these two Rashis, one on Vis Makartem and one on the Ein Keine. First, Vis Makartem Shom Lo Yivecha Lav Adam Lo Shvachis Atem Mevakshim Liyis Nimkarim. So Rashi says that what this means is you will request, you will be looking to be sold. The Ili, sir, what does this mean? The Ili in Avedis HaTshuva is das, is was durch dem, verter idan eved l'Hashem. What is the inyan of Tshuva? Why is Tshuva so spectacular that it can accomplish so much? Is because through Tshuva you become a true servant to Hashem. Und der Meile von eved b'shteten dem, was atem mevakshem liyis nimkarim. And what does he mean by eved? Eved means that you are looking, you are requesting to be sold. Sizan Aveda Bekaya Chatzme, meaning to say that what is special about the Aveda of Tshuva, which means the Aveda of being an Eved, it is that it's all your accomplishment. It's your work that is your work that's being done. Das ist nicht wie der Aveda von Bechines Bonim, Aveda Satzadikim Vazayar Aveda Vizkashad Lukudus Ateba Ben Afshon. This is not like the Aveda of a Tzadik, or the Aveda of a child to the father, to a parent, is out of love. You serve your parent out of love. So in other words, it's your nature to want to make your parents happy. It's natural that a Jew wants to make Hashem happy. It's natural for a tzaddik to want to do everything that Hashem wants. Valdoz was bazei herzach lekuz, because that which a tzaddik understands and appreciates godliness, and that they are drawn to godliness in everything that they do, that doesn't come to them through their own efforts. It doesn't. They don't reach that because they worked hard in order to reach that, but rather, it's something that is given to them. They are drawn by the godliness. It's the godly revelation to them which draws them into it. It's a natural thing. They're in love with Hashem, and therefore, because of that, they're naturally drawn to Elikos. So it doesn't express their own work and their own hard work in order to reach anything. Mashenken Avedis about Tshuva, but when we talk about Tshuva, Vaz Begiloi is a Givem Arucha Kfun, Begoli is a Givem Arucha Kfun Elikos, that he seemed to be distant from Elikos. Und die Aveda ist nicht mit Zad Gilim und Meilem mit Zad Elikus. So therefore, the Aveda of Tshuva isn't because Hashem becomes apparent to him and shines upon him, and therefore is drawn into Elikus naturally. The Farbas have filled Derina Geshmak because he feels this passion to be close to Hashem. Und im Tzit zu Ton Aveda, and that he's drawn to serve Hashem in every way. That's not what happens by Aval Tshuva. Adarabe. At this moment, being drawn to Hashem goes against everything that he experienced, that he feels. He doesn't want to be part of, doesn't want to work hard to serve Hashem. nor er hat sich ibe gemacht bekeich hatzmei, but what happens is he decides to change his ways and to change his direction. And now he has changed himself to such a degree that he is now drawn to Elikus. He didn't used to be drawn to Elikus. He didn't like that. But he's made such a big change in his life, his own change, under his own power, that now suddenly he wants to be closer to Elikus. As the Rashi says, Atem mevakshim liyis mimkarim. You want to be sold. In other words, you want to be close to Hashem. The tshuva accomplishes that it's your own work. It's your own accomplishment. Not that you were naturally drawn that way from birth, and that it's always been part of your DNA, that you love Hashem, and therefore you do everything for Hashem. No, you used to be very distant from Hashem. You didn't like it, but under your own steam, Atem Avakshim, you brought it about in yourself. And thus is the Ikediker Oifim von Avedas Hashem, and this is really the main way that Hashem wants to be served. Bedugma zu an Eved, was tut sein Arbet, nishmet adem hergesha odin, similar to a servant, a slave, that does his work for the master, not because he has this deep feeling of gratitude and love to his master, that he feels and experiences this, adarabe, because that's not true. To the contrary, as is hepech tivay, it goes against the nature of a slave to want to work, as the Gemara says. A slave doesn't want to work. But a slave needs to commit himself. He has to commit himself to serve his master. And that's the kind of commitment that Hashem is looking for. Not somebody that is naturally drawn to Hashem. The real avodah is to not be naturally drawn, but to commit yourself to Hashem. And that's what's brought out by Atem Mevakshim, you will look to be sold. So it brings out the Maila of Tshuva. Alderel says, Rashi Megala, in the Pirush from Vayin Koine. Similarly, also Rashi tells us in regards to the word Vayin Koine, Ki Yigzur Alecha Herev Vikiloyin. Rashi interprets it as meaning, why will you not be sold? Because why will nobody want to buy you? Because they will declare death sentence against you. So what does this mean? Bepnimis yonim and inyan nayli yisavas is in Eden durch avodas hatshuva. This is another level of a great level that is brought out by a yid through the avodas hatshuva. The pirush mean b'fan herik kviloyin is what is the inner meaning of death and destruction? Azayindik b'chayim ba'olam hazeh agashmi. That when a yid is living in this world, in this physical world, stated in atnua fun hereg, the person reaches a level of hereg. What does hereg mean? Benegeit sezayn taivus sezayn avar, that a person is able to kill, neutralize. Hereg means to neutralize. He's able to neutralize his lusts and the things that he is drawn to, and he's able to neutralize everything from his past. He doesn't want any connection to what he's done in the past. Atnua von ois welt. It is a feeling or a he's in the direction of there is no world. He's been able to neutralize the world around him. He's not connected to it anymore. He's not drawn to it anymore. Umita kiloyin kolsanafshi, and that it also brings about a kiloyin, which means, besides for destruction, it also means that my yearning to godliness is so great that my soul can expire from it. That's how much he reaches a yearning to Hashem. This yearning, which can lead to an expiring of the soul because of his love for godliness. Does haste. In other words, to say that even when a yid is in this world, and a neshama begof, a soul in a body, the grechta zu azam adrege, he reaches such a level, zu velcha de neshama vet nesala betzeisim in aguf, that level which the neshama reaches when it leaves the body, when the soul is untethered, unencumbered by the body, so then it has this great outpouring of love to Hashem. But a yid can reach that through tshuva, that even when you're alive, you have this great yearning and desire to be connected to Hashem. In other words, the hereg v'kiloyin means that a yid reaches through tshuva a state where he is as if he was gone, the neshama was gone from the body. It's no longer encumbered by the body. The love is so great as if the body didn't exist. The body doesn't matter, doesn't interfere, doesn't get in the way. Al derech the pirush from Chassidus, this is similar to what Chassidus explains about the Maimer HaMishnah, what it says in the Mishnah, that when a person reaches the age of 100, it's as if he died and left the world. So what does that mean? What are you telling a 100-year-old Jew? That's what you're telling him? That he doesn't count? It's as if he's dead already. So what it means is, when a yid reaches the level of 100 years, what does that mean? As a hot alameya darga shaynus, which means he has acquired all 100 different types of levels that there is to acquire. What are these 100 different levels? Hot mevaregiven ala esakechas nefesh. What that means? He was able to refine all 10 different character traits that a person has. There are 10 character traits. He has mastered all of his character traits. Vasyeda enef is kolofun eser, and we know that each one of the character traits is made up of all the other 10 character traits. So 10 times 10 is 100. So in other words, there is 100 different aspects of character traits that every yid has, and this person has mastered them all. It is over a bottle min ha'olam, meaning to say that now he is completely gone from the world. What does that mean? In ganz hecha fun welt, he is now completely beyond the world. B'meila iser ki'ilu meis, he's no longer locked into the world. There is nothing in the world of any of the 100 character traits that he has dealt with that still encumbers him, that still gets him stuck in the world, tied to the world. He's freed himself from all of these things which interfere with the neshama's expression. He's mastered all 100 of them. And therefore, it's as if he's gone already. It's as if he's not bound by the body. It's as if the body no longer interferes. In other words, that he is able to experience a lukus even down here. That even though it says in the pasuk that a person cannot see me, Hashem, and live, that is only during in their life they're not able to see Hashem. But in their death they are able to see Hashem. Meaning to say, after an neshama leaves the guf, of course it can experience Hashem. Vibal dover eriz ki'ilu mes v'avar abatam an oilam. But since this person has already mastered everything in the world that there is to master, zeter oich b'am leb nishmas v'guf, therefore even while he is alive, his nisham is still in the guf, he can see in quotation marks. Does vas b'misasam rayim, that which a normal person only sees after death. And that's what Rashi says, that you will not be sold, because nobody will buy you, because you will reach hereg v'kaloyim, means that in lifetime, through tshuva, a yid can reach such a state that he is no longer encumbered by the body and can experience a lukus as if he was in a shama without a guf. Yudalef, the emes is doch, the truth is, as nishna de techocha guf is tzlib ilui fun tshuva, nor euch de sibe was tarusgerufen de techocha tzlib tachlis ha'tshuva. The truth is that it's not only the curses and the rebuke that are there in order to bring about tshuva, but it's also the things which led to this situation, which also are there for the purpose of evoking tshuva, meaning to say that even the sins which are the cause for the curses and for the rebuke, they also are only there for the purpose of bringing about tshuva. Thus haste. Chodsh begilui is das mitzad echad toim vasidin tuin bebechirasim achavshis. even though the what is the reason for all of this is because of the sins which a Jew does in free choice. A Yid is given free choice to commit sins. In other words, it's your own fault, you would think. The truth is that on a deeper level, even your committing sins also is from above. The Eibishter brings Eden in the matziv, that the Eibishter brings a Yid into a situation in which he can commit a sin, and in other words, he expects that a sin will happen. But the reason is because it will lead to tshuva, so that's why it's worth it. When does zeich merumas in der anay from pasuk veishivcha Hashem, and this is also brought out in this pasuk, Hashem will return you b'derech asher amati lecha loisayse veid l'reisa. He will bring you back in the road that I told you not to go there. Now you will not see this again. Oich, in other words, to say, oich does vasidin gain in dem derech asur. Also this, that a yid travels down the road that is prohibited. I told you not to go down this road. It's a road that is prohibited. The reason that you travel down that road, in the that you travel down the road which Hashem said, do not go down that road, is that it's really, I lead you down that road. Hashem is leading us down the road of sin. And the reason is because I need you to be able to do tshuva in order to come back to a higher level than you started out with. And that's what Rashi also says, why he says in boats, and he explains b'shivya. As the yerida funa idin in Mitzrayim, the mitzarim gevulim behelam v'hester, that going to Mitzrayim means going into the place of limitations and so on, the place of concealment of Hashem, meaning into sin, is nishber tzeinif in the midden, you're not going there under your own will, nor is b'shivya, that you are going there in captivity. Das fit in the eibishter bal karche, in other words, who is the captor? Hashem is the captor, and he's leading you down that path. You're going there against your will, mit der kavana zu durchfirn imtzan, der firn imtzan ilif and tshuva, and that the purpose is that you should get there, get to the place where you can do tshuva. So Hashem leads you vayshivcha, ba'aniyas b'shivya, that Hashem leads you to Mitzrayim, to the place of concealment, to the place of sin, in order to ultimately get you back to tshuva. Al pikan al kolonal vet menoich verstein, das was Rashi is mefarish ba'aniyas b'sfinis. This also explains why Rashi explains the word ba'aniyas, and it says that it means b'sfinis. As thus is nishnor apirish in the word aniyas, it's not only that Rashi is trying to interpret the word ba'aniyas, which is a Hebrew word for a ship, by using the vernacular, which is sfinis, which is a more, I guess, one, if you don't speak Hebrew well, so sfinis is in Aramaic, so you know what the word aniyas means, that it means a boat, a ship. So it's not just that he's trying to interpret the word, nor the mit is Rashi oich meramez, but Rashi is also trying to allude to something else. As leiten pnimis dikenteichen from pasuk, that according to this inner meaning of the pasuk, as we explained it, thus Rashi gitar is bein shulteira, which Rashi explained through the inner dimension of his pirush, is done geya der inifananiyas be asved getaych sfinis. Over here, it's important that there is a niyas, and then there is how it's explained as sfinis. It's two different levels. What does that mean? The beer bazet. Aniyas is in yonim zu megen sein of a mention be'es they darfen durgen de wasserum von yam oder von teich. What is a boat? A boat is a thing which protects the person that has to cross over the waters of the sea or the waters of a river, so the boat protects you from the raging waters. Al deras en ruchnis in yonim, a similar thing also spiritually speaking. B'shas ha'neshama kum tarab lamata, when an neshama comes down into this world, in the mayim azedenu fenelum azen, to the raging waters of this world. Davzi yehob madaber amegin, it needs something to protect the neshama. As is on nishverim fatrunke chasushon, that it shouldn't sink and drown in the raging waters of this physical world. in Zay. Und das is durch Sfinus. And how is it protected? Through Sfinus, through a boat. The Avodah from Torah Mitzvahs, the boat represents the Avodah of Torah Mitzvahs, Kavurim Kama Mekaymas, as it's explained elsewhere, that the boat that protects the Neshama from the world is its involvement in Torah Mitzvahs. In dem seine dort zwei Madreges. So in this type of protection, you know, surrounding yourself with Torah Mitzvahs, there is also two levels. One level is Anias, as expressed by the word Anias, the Hebrew word for the Nama von Dover Amegin, which is the word the describing the protection in Lashon HaKodesh. But Anias is a word that's in the holy language. Das heißt, die Aveide von Torah Mitzvah, das wird getan in dem Welt von Kedusha. In other words, doing your Torah Mitzvahs only surrounded by Kedusha in the realm of holiness, not being exposed to something outside Kedusha, holiness. Then there is another level, Sfinus, which is expressed by the word Sfinus, that Noma in Lashon von Targum, talking about the protection, but in the non-Hebrew, non-Lashon Kodesh word of Aramaic, das heißt, wie es kommt darauf in der Welt von Targum, von des Ayinumis, as it comes down, as Torah has to be practiced in the world of the 70 nations, in the world in which you need another language. And we have to transform the world of the 70 nations into holiness. And this is of course referring to the Avodah of Tshuva, that you're exposed and you engage in the world of the 70 nations, and even there you have to elevate that too. And how is that done? Through Tshuva, as he said before. So Rashi, Rashi explains that since we're talking about an idea of Tshuva, it's a situation in which a person has sinned and therefore has to now correct that situation. A person traveled down the road which Hashem said not to travel down that road. In other words, committed sin. Therefore, in such a situation, you need a protection not just what's offered by the word anias, which means the boat as expressed in Lashon Kodesh, which means you're surrounded by holiness. You were never exposed to anything negative. That's not going to be enough for somebody that already traveled down that path. You have to be protected. So you need protection from Sfinos, from Torah Mitzvahs as they are practiced in the world of the 70 nations. And that's the Inyan of Tshuva. Biratzen, and may it be the will of Hashem as Dordem Limud Yena Shal Teira Bepnimis HaTeira from the Divrei Techacha, that by learning the inner dimension of the Teira of these words of rebuke, so the Kar of Mamish Nizgalaver and the Pnimis Diketei from the Divrei Techacha, that Hashem very soon should be revealed to us in a manifest way the inner good that is found in these words. That's the words of rebuke. Betuva nirva nigla, in a way that is clear and obvious that it's good. As yederazol, as zem be'ene basta betuva nirva nigla, that each one of us should see it with our own eyes in a very good and revealed way, in an obvious way, in banachayim zayin ervicha, expressed in blessings and children, blessings in health, and blessings in parnasa barchava, and the aleph techachazol kumen. And that the actual meaning of the rebuke, the curses and so on, should be applied to our enemies and to those who hate us and those who pursue us and those who oppress us. And every Yid while Yisrael amongst all the other Yidden should be sealed and signed and sealed in a good and blessed year, a good and sweet year, good that is obvious and seen in an obvious way, until we reach the general bracha, which is equal to all Yidden, the coming of Mashiach speedily in our days.